Attention Cyclone fans in the ag industry, Keene Project Solutions is pioneering the future of industrial agriculture. Engineers and project managers, you can join a team where your passion for ag drives innovative engineering and construction. Keene is also a leader in providing full-service engineering and construction solutions. They specialize in agriculture, commercial, food and beverage, material handling, and the manufacturing sectors. If you'd like to work for this great local company or find out what they have to offer, visit their website. ThinkDifferentThinkKeen.com. That's K-E-E-N, ThinkDifferentThinkKeen.com.
The Cyclone Fanatic Podcast is fueled by Cody Rhode and recorded in the Wild Rose Casino and Hotel Studio.
Welcome in to Kicking It. We are we got another fun guest today. Darius Reynolds is going to be on later. Which
Money?
It's weird calling him Darius, and we get into the reason why he's called Money in a bit. But like everyone calls him Money, so if you ever hear anyone talking about Money as a person, it's Darius Reynolds, number seven. He's one of the just most dominant physical presences at any position. We'll get into that, and we are brought to you as always by Kelderman Manufacturing. So if you need anything, basically anything done ever, if you want to, Santa's got several months in advance, but he's probably doing maintenance on his sleigh. Santa could probably get stuff fixed at Kelderman Manufacturing.
A little laser cutting, maybe.
But he probably does. Do you think he has like a custom grill on his sleigh, or do you try? Because you can't go incognito, you know. So like, it's a flying reindeer. You can't like pretend that it's not Santa if you see flying reindeer in a sleigh. So you could lean into that.
Yeah, I bet Mrs. Claus is like, smile for me, Dad. What you looking at? Let me see your grill.
Little Paul Wall action on Santa Claus. Anyway, Kelderman.com.
It's the Iceman.
We are, as always, I'm Jeff Woody, Grant Mahoney, Aiden Wyatt behind the boards. Grant, how you doing, buddy?
Better than I deserve.
Who is that? I know that's
Dave Ramsey.
Yep. That's got some great points. Big help to me. Some questionables. Anyway, I don't want to get in like a Dave Ramsey fight with anybody because that feels like a territory I do not want to wade in.
Kind of maybe getting down like a political, if you will.
Yeah, I want to do that. I want to start that fight. Anyway, we're going to talk with Money a little bit. And then, but before we get there, there was something that happened football wise this weekend. And I could say something because it wasn't a lot. And so the spring game was the Saturday before recording this. So if you're listening to this 2 months down the road, it's the Monday after the spring game. And there wasn't really much that happened. So like, I went there and they had an alumni letter winner thing, which was really fun. Got to talk to a lot of people and got to talk to a lot of former letter winners. All enjoyable. And then the game was 42 and windy and nobody played. That's how the game went. So there was, for those that were asking, I don't know if Williams and Loop talked about it. I'm sure they did. But basically, your starting quarterback, your two starting running backs, your two starting wide receivers, and all three starting safeties, who are essentially the captains will come from that group and probably a lineman or two. None of them played. And so what does the team look like? Hard to tell, because the reason why they didn't play is because they're your best players. You want to preserve them from getting hurt. So what does a team look like without its eight top players? I don't know. Different than what it's actually going to look like. But there were a couple observations that I had just like generally, not about any one particular person. So obviously that freshman running back, what's his name?
Dylan Lee.
He had a good game, like played well, read really well.
He's going to get, not only did he have a good game, he's going to get some play this year. He's a good back.
I think he will. The only problem is he's got a really crowded room. So like you have Sama.
But I think we're going to see a lot of, I think Sama Hansen and Lee have different, and then obviously Jalen Jackson, the guy from Eastern Michigan. They've all got different specialties, if you will.
It feels like that it's going to be with three backs, it's hard to carve a niche. You can play a lot with two, so he'll probably get like spell playing time here or there, unless he makes one of those moves where it's you better play me or else. Everyone's going to laugh at you because of how dumb it is to not play me.
I think we may see a lot of Abu and Dylan Lee as strictly running backs. And then we'll see Hansen and Jackson as more of like a gadget receiver, in the backfield, but more like the receiving side of things.
Third downy kind of.
Sure.
Yeah. So that was that. I mean, other than Lee is really the one guy, the kind of the one guy that stood out.
Kyle Conradery, baby.
Oh, we're kicking it.
That's right.
4 or 5 into a stiff wind. It was cold. We've already talked about how cold affects kicking.
Sucks.
Apparently
wind,
pretty good.
Wind sucks too.
Apparently pretty good.
Yep. So dude's from walk-on from Dubuque.
Apparently he's the reason why he's a walk-on is he didn't play football until like 3 years ago.
Probably a soccer guy.
Like he was a soccer guy.
I don't know the story.
I think, so I was talking with Rory Walling and he apparently was saying like, yeah, this kid didn't even play soccer or didn't play football till like 2 years ago. And so they were like, yeah, we'll walk on and see what you got. And then turns out he's got a lot.
Maybe we can interview him this summer. We'll see.
At some point. He'll be kicking it with us. Huh?
There you go.
Huh?
That's it.
You get it?
I got it.
Because kicking it means hanging out, but also kicking with a ball.
Specialist, baby.
Anyway, but I think the things that I noticed that were different this year than years past is that the skill positions are huge. Like just the humans that are there. Like Jameson Patton looks like he's 15 pounds bigger than he was last year. There is just more mass. Like the wide receivers are enormous because, you know, like Higgins and Noel didn't even have shoulder pads on. They did their one-on-ones, individual drills, took their pads off, were just wearing a jersey. But like the dude from Army, Ngoyi, like they look huge. The safeties look huge. So just the size of the skill positions. And then kind of inversely, the linemen look leaner than they have in the past. Because like last year or the year before when Iowa State had like the heaviest offensive line in the conference or whatever it was. Was it last year or the year before when all this kind of all promoted? Anyway, this year I don't think they're going to have that, but it's much more fine.
They've trimmed the baby fat.
Trim the baby and there's an expression, fat don't flex. So like you have to be able to move at the weight you need to. And so with the speed that exists in the backfield and in the perimeter, you need to be able to run. And so you have to be athletic and also big. So it's not like they're just these little toothpicks out there. So they'll average north of 310 probably, but they looked leaner than they have in the past. So the skill positions looked bigger and the linemen looked leaner, at least from like a frame perspective to me. Other than that, hard to tell.
Yeah. I wasn't at the spring game. I was doing house chores and stuff around the house. So
more important.
It really is, man.
Not a great day to do house chores.
Inside.
Oh, inside house chores.
Inside. Yeah. We got some friends come over. Needed some painting in the house. So getting one of our living rooms. Like our house is kind of built like a U almost with like a fireplace in the middle. Mm. And so we spend most of our time in one living room. The other living room we call our library. We're painting the library. Uh-huh. Right now it's a very stark yellow. I would say it's similar to like the Hilton Magic yellow behind you. Not good. We live in a 100-year-old home and all the rooms are painted differently. So we are changing that, getting it prepped for friends come over this weekend. So
the fact that you were painting means you also missed out on Aiden. Did you have a good time this weekend?
Had a great time.
Hey guys, I got a bone to pick. Yeah. I talked about it distinctly on the show. I asked if someone could please, I feel like Steven Glansberg right now. Someone please invite me on your team for Size Sells a Shirt. I got no offers. I started a GoFundMe page. I had zero donations.
Zero donations, zero offers, zero position. Aiden, wasn't it fun?
Yeah, I feel like Steven Glansberg here, guys.
You know, you would have hated it.
You would have hated it. There's just, it's trivia. There's free food. There's free drinks. There's Ames Lager everywhere.
I would have stolen Cole Steve Austin, a couple of Ames Lagers.
It was all Iowa State people. So they're all just like really friendly and happy to be there. Yeah, it was bad.
I'm gonna be there next year. I'm gonna be on my greens team,
dude. I
this
feel
team's
like
a dynasty.
The SID team, because I remember I didn't see Crochelle, but Crochelle and Mike Green then Matt Schultz. I think all three of the SIDs.
Yep. I think they were on different teams.
Were they on different?
Well, year. We're gonna make a super squad next year.
But anyway, that was a team that was like unbeatable. They won it like 4 years in a row. Doc Shulman, he would be useful in certain categories, I'm sure.
Very much so.
But Size House, I for those that were there, I think it was, there was two separate categories, and I think there is Chris was trash talking you because we all kind of had like a was kind of trash talking you, like, oh, this guy's just young guy, he's here, the only thing he's going to be useful for is Taylor Swift questions. We got two Taylor Swift questions,
I cannot express how much pressure I felt to get those right. My reputation was on the line. I would have never lived that down.
Did you get them right?
Yeah. They were layups.
What were the questions?
One was
so the category, the category, the whole category was what came first, and so I think it was the third round, maybe
like the albums.
It was just they would list three things, and you had to select which of those three things was first. So like,
so it was Fearless, Speak Now, Rhett, which it was Fearless.
Yeah, obviously. Fearless, though.
My guy,
obviously.
And then the other one was, do you know the song "Cruel Summer"?
Yeah,
it's like honestly one of my favorite Taylor Swift songs, and it was the finished lyric for that. I was all over that.
So it was a finished lyric.
Yeah. I mean, who's every team I would have been on, we would have gotten those questions right. So,
and just people missed out.
Why didn't Chris invite me?
I don't know. I didn't like you.
I'm putting in my 2 weeks right now.
two more shows, everybody. but Size House, I don't know. Just as that is my favorite event of the year. I love trivia and I also love free food and drinks. And you mix those two things together and then add in like all the super crazy Iowa State fans that just really enjoy all things Iowa State. It's a blast. And do you guys remember your score, Aiden? Do you know what place
point
you got?
I know what place. I think our point total is 57.
Okay.
We were 39th.
Okay. It's top half.
Yeah. And if you think about it, we probably had a top 20 score, but that's not how tiebreakers work. So
how many teams were there?
100.
And how many people are on each team?
8. Plus celebrities. Plus celebrities.
Okay, cool. So there's 800 plus people there. And
you were not one of them.
I was not one of them.
Just next year. At some point, Grant is going to start his GoFundMe earlier to get on the... No, I mean, you could just email Mike. Just email Mike Green.
Yeah, I'm going to say let's put a super squad together, Mike.
Yeah.
I'm going to invite Coach Rhodes back. He's going to be a celebrity. And me, Coach Rhodes, Doc Shulman, and Mike Green. There it is.
This is going to be such an obscure, weird conversation going on at that table. Oh, man. Talking about obscure, weird conversations, I feel like we can just then transition into money.
It wasn't that weird, though.
It wasn't that weird. It was actually pretty normal. He's just the sweetest person. Aiden, we were kind of talking because we already recorded it and then doing the intro prior to that. So, Aiden, you were kind of saying like your expectation versus reality was very different with Darius Reynolds.
So, I was born in 2001.
Baby, just a little baby.
So, like 2009, 2010, 2011 was when I really started to get into like Iowa State football. And, like that's pretty much when I start remembering watching Iowa State football. And so I thought, you know, Darius Reynolds was this MF or at receiver. I was just he was a dog, but like a junkyard dog, like, you know.
Like one of Steele's dogs.
Well, yeah,
it's like he was one of Steele's dogs.
Sure. Yeah. He was just a sweetheart.
He is just a sweetheart.
So he's like one of Steele's dogs, yeah.
Yeah, he's one of Steele's dogs.
Hey, and you missed out on the 90s, man, the best decade.
Sorry.
Talk to your parents.
Free cell phones.
How old are you guys?
33.
34.
Okay.
89.
So like you're
89. What's
you're
up,
firmly like a 90s kid.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Like very squarely 90s.
Yeah.
Kid. Game Boys.
Yeah.
And Tamagotchis.
Do you guys remember Y2K?
Yes.
Yeah. I was at Blake Colton's house smashing 3D Doritos and Surge.
Did you have, did you put like purple and green ketchup on your hot dogs?
Of course I did.
Doritos 3Ds. Those were so good, but they would like cut your mouth because the little corners were really hard.
Yeah, no, I would put in my mouth and just like let my tongue smash them against the roof of my mouth. I was an absolute rebel. We also drank Sobe. Sobe. Yeah, but yeah.
You know what I was talking about the other day?
Well, hold on. What was the drink that's like, these were disgusting, but I couldn't stop drinking them. They were like gel with little gel balls in them. You know what I'm talking about? Absolutely gross. And then All Sport. Remember All Sport?
All Sport was just sugar.
Just sugar. Carbonated sugar. Yeah, it's just sports
sugar
drink.
And water.
This is not sports. This is a soda.
I remember Baylor was an all sport school from when we were playing.
They wouldn't.
I'm not kidding.
All Sport and Russell.
I'm pretty sure that All Sport was owned by Dr. Pepper, and Dr. Pepper is based out of Waco. So I remember going down and we were playing like 2010 as the first, maybe 10 or 11. We played in Waco, and I remember looking across.
They were still All Sport in 2010.
They were playing All Sport in like 2009. I was like, I didn't know that this thing still existed.
I think they legit were Russell as well.
I don't know. Probably. It was just it's like the we have food at home.
And
like
then, that's then Chip and Jonah Gaines were like, here's some money,
just any money
get some
at
new
all.
Jerseys.
Also, I was talking with my wife the other day, and she was a Nesquik family. My family was a Nesquik family. My best friend David growing up was an Ovaltine family. Were you an Ovaltine guy or a Nesquik guy?
I was neither, but I know of Ovaltine from A Christmas Story. More Ovaltine, please.
That was, I feel like that was on the tail end of Ovaltine. Were you either Nesquik or Ovaltine, or did that disappear?
He was the other.
I remember my grandparents had Nesquik, but
you were you.
I think I only know I was you. You rocked.
Yeah.
But Well, that's a chocolate drink and a chocolate milk. You'll forget.
What? What'd you say?
It's a chocolate drink. And chocolate
milk. Okay.
But anyway, I only know Ovaltine from Seinfeld. Ah. I don't know if you guys watch Seinfeld or not.
I mean, I just don't have, I don't, I've watched
it. Why do Seinfeld, they call it Ovaltine?
I don't have a full pull of the Seinfeld repertoire in my head.
That's why Aiden's an old soul, because he just binges Seinfeld.
Just yeah, binges Seinfeld. Drinking Yoo-Hoo.
Giddy up.
Giddy up.
All right. So Darius Reynolds here, otherwise known as Money, who is just an absolute teddy bear of a human being, despite the fact that he's like the most physically imposing wide receiver outside of Lazard and Hakeem Butler that Iowa State's had in a long time.
I think I would put Money up against any receiver we've had in the last 30 years as far as pound for pound strength.
Oh, legitimately, I remember him doing like a 320 pound clean. So like, for those that aren't super familiar with weightlifting thing, a clean is just when the barbell goes from the ground to your shoulder without stopping. And he had a 320 pound clean. We talked about it in the episode. His wrist didn't bend backwards. So like, normally what you want to do on a clean is catch it on your shoulders. So like, if I gave you a sandbag and said, hey, walk it to that truck across the parking lot, you wouldn't just like hold it in your hands. You'd put it on your shoulder and walk away. So it's stronger on your shoulder. He couldn't get it to his shoulder because his wrist didn't bend. So he literally like bicep curled 320 pounds. I was like, holy shit. It's just pure strength of a human being. And we'd get into it, but like, I remember so vividly watching him in both either practice or in game one-on-one situations being like, you don't have a chance. Like, doesn't matter who it is, you don't have a chance.
And he mentions his like weightlifting numbers in the interview, but yeah, I knew he squatted over 500 pounds. It was like 550.
He was a 400 pound bench guy too. Yeah,
which is nuts.
He was 200 pounds ish 195 205 somewhere in there. 400 pound bench, 500 pound squatter, 300 something pound cleaner. Insane athlete.
Yeah.
Anyway, so this being the Goldfinch Athletics interview of the week. In the next couple weeks, we should have some fun Goldfinch announcements, several fun Goldfinch announcements. We're just finalizing all the details before we then promote said details. Anyway, Goldfinch Athletics interview of the week is going to be Money Reynolds. Kick
it! And now we welcome in Darius Money Reynolds. Darius, how you doing?
I'm good, man. How you doing?
I'm good. Thanks okay. Thanks for hopping on with us here.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
I feel like just to establish the fact that, because I don't think anyone ever calls you Darius. Did any coaches actually call you Darius?
Yeah, I'm not sure why I just called you Darius.
Herman did. He said he wouldn't call me Money because I never earned it. He was the only one who called me that.
I feel like that's the most Herman thing.
Yeah. Okay.
That, and he wouldn't refer to kickers by their name. Like,
you just call your kicker.
Yeah.
All right, Herman. You call me
Jeffrey, which like him and then Zelenovich, which is the head coach at Sally's Book. Only two people call me Jeffrey. But where did Money come from? Because that's what everybody calls you. So we're going to call you just like to fill the audience in. Where did Money come from?
It actually came from like when I was like 10 years old. I was actually shooting basketball with my brother.
Dude, I was going to say no way that Money comes from your jump shot. But
yeah, it did. Actually, it was on a little Nerf rim, though. I mean, I'll be honest, but I kept making it. My brother just kept saying Money every time I shot it. And then we was at the next team's coach that I was about to play for, Little League, Pop Warner. And he asked me what I wanted on the back of my jersey. Me and my brother kind of just looked at each other and I was like, can I put Money on it?
He was like, yeah, cool. He was like the XFL. What so, he got
yeah, he hate me.
Yeah,
Pop Warner and stuff. Little League. I had D Money on the back of my jersey, and it just stuck.
That's good. Because I think for a long time I didn't even know that your name was Darius. Like I didn't really
introduce myself.
It's like a month. It's like, wait, Money Reynolds. Oh, okay. Oh, shit. Darius. Oh, okay.
I joke about his jump shot because in college we had a record, intramural team. Every time we'd win
the
jump,
hooper.
Every time we'd win the jump, he would. Like he'd get it, jump a couple times, two steps in from half court and launch it every time.
I made probably like 40% of that.
Yeah, you did.
I told him before though, I'm gonna at least take one in the game.
Who did you play? Who was on your team?
Who was?
Because we had
a couple of years.
I had a rec league team and it was terrible. It was just a bunch of white walk-ons from Iowa.
I remember your team because Bankston was on your team.
Bankston is like Wes Boyer, Wes, Thad,
yeah,
me.
Walk played, didn't he?
Kinda. Sometimes,
a bit, right? Yeah, and he was like the enforcer.
Yeah, it was me, Money, Big Drew.
That's good because Drew's 6'9", so
Carter Bykowski,
6'9", so that helps.
We had Ben Lamock,
he was
athlete. Nice.
We had one of my buddies from high school, Brandon Michelson, who was like at that time, he's probably like 6'1", 130.
Yeah, I probably averaged like 3 points a game.
No, four rebounds.
Is that one shot that you make from 42 feet?
Shoot at least three of them.
Yeah, no, that was fun though.
I was there for the defense and rebounds,
something like that. No, I was gonna ask you the same question though. How'd you get the name Money? But so I want to ask you how you got to Iowa State, because you you came in as a receiver, but at JUCO, let's walk through your recruiting process, because as JUCO though, you were a quarterback.
Yeah.
So let's walk through from high school how you got to Iowa State.
So high school, I was the starting quarterback. My high school was pretty good.
And that was in Virginia Beach area?
Woodbridge, okay. Northern Virginia.
Okay.
Yeah. We went to state semifinals. We actually lost to Percy Harvin. That was a good team. They were from the beach. And then from there, like, my grades wasn't the greatest, so I had to go to JUCO. And a coach and sending out my information to a team in Reedley, California. So I went there for my first year. I was a freshman. I was the starting quarterback. I went to receiver a couple times, like due to injuries and stuff. So they kind of knew I could play receiver if I had to. But I had a pretty good first year. Like, I was All-American and all that stuff. In my second year, a receiver got hurt again, and he was kind of like our switchblade type of guy. Like, he would come to the backfield, get the handoffs. So coach decided to put me there. And I had a coach actually my freshman year at my JUCO who came to Iowa State my sophomore year. So he was with Chizik's last year. Yep. And he kind of put them on to recruiting me. And I ended up getting kicked off my junior college team my sophomore year. Never really found out why. I didn't really get in trouble or anything. So that was just an odd situation. But I think when Iowa State came to recruit me at the game, I played receiver in that game.
Gotcha.
I did pretty well. So I don't know if Coach Rhodes and them actually knew that I was a quarterback before because Chizik basically labeled me as a receiver recruit, and then Rhodes picked up, and they kind of still honored my scholarship. So
I think that's great that the entire position that you were getting recruited at was sort of by accident,
yeah,
which is great. I think I feel like this show rides the line between absolute nonsense and like very specific football stuff.
Yeah.
So in the very specific football stuff, a lot of times, so like Taylor switched over from quarterback to wide receiver. You know, there are people like Ryan Tannehill went the other way, like, and back and forth.
Yeah.
What would you say the advantage of having played quarterback is to when you go to switch to wide receiver? Because I think one of the things, so like you and Didi, Darius Darks were the two, and then Lenz were kind of the primary wide receivers, at least when I was there. Mm. And usually the thing that you, all three of you did really well was like find space and like, where is the angles? Where is the stuff? So what's the advantage for you of having played quarterback and then having gone to wide receiver from that?
So easily answer kind of is as quarterback, you got to see the whole field. You got to identify coverages by looking at certain people. When you get to receiver, it's kind of more narrow. And you're just being coached kind of on that position, if that makes sense. But it's not always teaching you to, if this corner's lined up like this, then it's cover two, or if this safety's lined up like this. Like, you get a little bit of it, but as a quarterback, you got to see the whole picture, you know what I mean? Because you got to kind of control it. So it's easy for me to go out there and line up, and I can look at basically what you learn as a quarterback is the triangle, outside linebacker, safety, corner. You see those three, and they kind of can tell you, like, the whole coverage and stuff like that. So I always learn, like, as a quarterback, when coaches in the receivers room would draw up plays and stuff, I'm not looking at it like, what's my route or what I got to do. I got to know what everybody's doing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think that's the difference from coming from quarterback to receiver rather than just being a receiver. You don't really learn the whole system at receiver. So
we had, because I think you ran a couple fake plays, didn't you, where like they tossed it to you and you threw it, right?
Yeah. Well, I know my first year I threw one to Marquise Hamilton. Yep. I don't know if I got too many.
I remember in practice all the time we had that in there.
I had the Wildcat formation going in the senior year, but I don't know if y'all remember we went to the water park that year.
Yes.
On like the last day.
And Hayworth.
Year, and I broke my toe.
Hayworth broke your toe.
And we never went back to it.
We never went back.
When we went to that water
Not only
park.
Did we not go back to the water park, we never went to that formation because it was the Ames Water Park just on the north side of 13th Street. And Hayworth, like, I don't know.
We was going down the slide together. He was on the little tube. It was probably a bad idea, but he was riding behind me. And we just kind of flipped out. And I landed, and I was trying to, like, stand up as he was coming down. So, like, he caught my heel, and all his weight just went on my heel.
That's a lot of weight.
This is the second Hayworth injury story back-to-back weeks. We had Steele on last week, and Steele said in the UConn game that Hayworth stepped on his foot or something.
Yeah.
And Steele said that's when he hurt his foot.
It's a massive human being. Because
you broke your ankle, too, same year?
My first year. That was the first year I got here, 2009.
Yeah, yeah. So
it was, like, after four games, and I had that surgery.
And you came back that same year.
I came back for the inside. I didn't play that's when I started practicing again, though.
Which is incredible.
Were you playing X then? Because it was,
I was actually an F. They had me at slot when I first got in here. Yeah.
Because that would have been you and Lenz, and because then Jake Williams and Marquise were playing X and Z. And then who would have been you and Lenz playing
Didi?
Didi playing
F.
Okay. Who else is playing Z at that point?
Actually, I think I know Z Tech was there.
Oh, yeah. Z Tech.
I think Didi might have been at a different position until I got hurt.
Okay.
It was Keith, Jake, Hollywood.
Were you there in Jarvis, Jarvis West?
No, yeah, Jarvis came here after.
Before him, yeah. And I think Lenz, me and Lenz were the Fs. I think Didi might have been a Z or something like that.
What would you say is, like when you think of like your Iowa State career, what would you say is like your most favorable, most favorite game or like most memorable moment?
Well, probably like, it's definitely from the senior year. But there are so many moments like in that year that it's kind of hard to narrow down one.
And that's 2011, right?
Yeah, because your last year is you beat Oklahoma State.
That's the year we beat Oklahoma State, double overtime, I think. Iowa was triple overtime.
Yeah.
I mean, we didn't win the Baylor game, but I put up my highest numbers, 178, two touchdowns. So that
you remember
like,
the exact yard? I love that.
They had like seven catches, 178 yards, two touchdowns.
I love that.
UConn was a big game for us
you had,
Friday night.
Because did you have three touchdowns there?
No.
Or was it two?
I had two. And you talking about Baylor?
No, in the UConn game.
UConn, I had two.
Yeah, because I remember you jumped over a dude.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, we're good.
The last one.
Yeah, we're good.
And so, I mean, that was pretty big, too.
And we were talking about with Steele about that. And it was like, that was the Steele Janciest game of all time because we attempted four passes to start the game. Three were interceptions.
Oh, yeah.
So he was 0 for 4 with three picks. And then later threw three touchdown passes on the way, two of them to you. He'll I think one was to Ernst. Yeah. And it was just like, God, this is a Lenz ride, man.
Lenz threw one.
Yeah, Lenz threw one.
Oh, yeah, Lenz threw one.
Yeah, okay. Off the reverse.
So it would have been two or three touchdowns, but yeah.
It's crazy how that season turned out because when Jams was in, like how my numbers were good.
Uh-huh.
But once we switched to Barnett, my numbers went way down. Dang, it's because Jams threw like the deep ball to me. And that was kind of my specialty too. But once we did that, like we made that switch, we didn't really throw too many deep balls.
I think it was, yeah, it feels like that was like one of the things I remember Herman telling me, and it was it was in conversation with around Herman, and he was talking about how he likes to call, he'll call his offense to what best fits the quarterback's personnel. So when they had that national title run at Ohio State, Cardale Jones was the quarterback.
Yeah.
The way he called that offense was it was a two read and run. So like Cardale Jones, I don't know if people remember this. Like Cardale Jones was he was like, I think he had like one game at the last game of the regular season, Big Ten championship playoffs. That's
it. He balled out.
And it would essentially say like it's a half field read. It's here's your first read, here's your second read. If it ain't there in your second read, take off and go. Like he's not giving him anything beyond two.
That speaks a lot about Herman too, though. It's not like you're just gonna stick to your ways. It's like let me adjust to my players.
Yeah, and so
I don't think a lot of
Steele's got
do.
A cannon and throw it a mile. Barnett is much more underneath accurate.
And he was a freshman at the time.
Yeah,
so that was a lot for him, which is good for Chris Herman, like to recognize that and make it easier for him. Because Barnett won games.
Yeah,
we just didn't throw deep balls like that no more. It was more so like screens and the quick stuff. But I mean, it worked so.
Yeah. So you're okay. When you were you going to commit to the Chizik staff or was it just Rhodes all the way?
Yeah, I was going Chizik. Yeah. I committed to Chizik.
Okay. I wanted to ask you what other teams were in on you or did you take any other visits or?
No, I didn't get to take any more visits. After my freshman year, I had a lot of teams like looking at me. Like they had labeled me as a 5-star recruit and everything. But with my situation with my grades and my ACT score, I only took the ACT once, and it was the day after a game where I got a concussion.
Oh,
so
man.
I never took it again. So, I mean, I kind of messed that up. But due to that, like, I had to graduate. So the teams that came to me my freshman year already knew that I was going to be there for another year. So it was like, we're watching you. Just know that, like, next year we're coming back to get you or whatever. I had Oregon come talk to me. I had USF looking at me. I had a lot of schools looking at me. But then once I got kicked off the team my sophomore year, everything just kind of went away. But I think what really helped me with Iowa State is that I had that coach and he vouched for me like the person I am and stuff. And that he knows like if I came here, I would be a good fit for the team.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't be like problems or nothing like that. So he knew me. He vouched for me a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, his name's Shane Beattie too. I always
get Shane Beattie. Yeah. Dude was crazy. He used to headbutt me.
Yeah.
He would headbutt me. I had a helmet on. He wouldn't. I'm like,
he's
dude.
The reason why I came to
speak. What's wrong with you, man?
He was wild. He's a Canadian.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was my man. So he was out to at my JUCO my freshman year.
Yeah, yeah. Because he was on the Iowa State staff, I think, for a minute.
Yeah. When we were there. When Chizik was there like the last year.
Yeah. No, he would head. You remember? Yeah, he
was no, cool. I didn't commit. I wasn't there for any of Chizik. I got recruited by Wayne Bolt, but
this guy was short and stumpy. I would say his stature was similar to that of a thumb. and he would just like randomly walk up wild. when I had a helmet on, I would just like, yeah, Mahoney, boom.
Like
he was one of those.
Jesus,
and then like he would kind of rock me pretty good too.
Yeah, but he was a really good dude though.
No, he was. He was solid.
Love coach.
Attention Cyclone fans in the ag industry, Keene Project Solutions is pioneering the future of industrial agriculture. Engineers and project managers, you can join a team where your passion for ag drives innovative engineering and construction. Keene is also a leader in providing full-service engineering and construction solutions. They specialize in agriculture, commercial, food and beverage, material handling, and the manufacturing sectors. If you'd like to work for this great local company or find out what they have to offer, visit their website. ThinkDifferentThinkKeen.com. That's K-E-E-N. ThinkDifferentThinkKeen.com.
So you've got a D1 shirt on for people who are watching on YouTube. Tell everyone what are you up to these days?
I recently started working with D1 out in Waukee, but we kind of have a couple different locations. Like I actually worked out here at, I think it's called Sport Iowa, the facility out here. So I started training young kids, and then we actually have a program called Apex Air that we're in the middle of, the 707 league that we have out there, or a couple teams, 12U, 14U, and 218U teams. So I partnered up with D1 and kind of starting to get my training stuff going.
Is that same thing as I know Ryan Smith runs like Iowa Flex or something?
Yeah.
Is that competition?
Competition to who? I mean, I don't see no competition.
There you go. Yeah, are you guys competing teams though?
I don't think so. I don't think we go to the same tournaments.
Gotcha.
Last weekend we were at UNI. I think in 2 weeks, May 4th, we go to. No, I said that backwards. Last weekend we was at Iowa, out in Iowa City, and then in 2 weeks we go to UNI. But I haven't seen another team though. And I mean, I'm just now starting. Like that, I'm probably like 4 or 5 months in, so I haven't been really out there because I also have another job, so I haven't really gotten too far into it.
But gotcha.
Yeah, I'm definitely looking for the athletes.
That's big though. Like 7-on-7's gotten big. Like I know it's always been a thing, but it's like there's like tournaments and camps and stuff for 7-on-7 now, which is huge for kids in the off season to get offers. And
I actually did it a lot in Virginia with my brother. He has a team that he's had for like 11 years, and they travel all over the place for it. Like, it's really big everywhere else. I don't think it's as big here in Iowa, but I'm kind of trying to bring some popularity to it and kind of put people on notice.
There you go.
And kind of help, like, kids get ready for it.
That's right.
Because I've seen talent, like, outside of Iowa. Like, I see a lot of it. And I think Iowa's a little bit behind, like, no disrespect, but I just don't think that they're aware, like, of what's really going on around in different states and stuff.
You always ask the guys on the team, where are the best athletes from? California guys say California, Texas guys say Texas, Florida guys say Florida. And I think one reason those are probably the three best states.
Yeah.
But they also have warm climate for most of the years.
They do stuff year round.
Yeah.
So
I think I feel like that's one of the reasons why stuff like 7-on-7 hasn't really happened is because, during football season, and also the state of Iowa plays baseball in the summer. So like a lot of the quarterbacks are baseball players. And so like, they're not going to be playing baseball. So like, what time do you have to do it? Late or early spring and during basketball season. There's not
much opportunity for it out here, but I mean, you don't really need too much as long as if it's efficient work. You know what I mean? Like put in a couple hours a day or a week or whatever, just kind of start training these kids. I have dreams. That's all I'll say. But yeah, I'm definitely trying to bring more like popularity to it, build some better athletes starting at a younger age.
Oh yeah, so,
yeah.
Money built.
I'm excited about it.
There you go. Money built.
Money built.
Money. Yeah, I like that.
We'll take 10% of all trademarking rights.
I don't know about 10. I might be able to get you 2. Yeah, let me do some interviews and stuff in here. We could talk.
All right.
So you were in your playing day, you were kind of a vocal guy. Were you much of a trash talker when you were out there?
I wasn't that vocal.
For real? Like a trash talker? I feel like you were.
Only at practice.
Okay.
Only at practice. Game days, I was different.
And that was pretty much only with what, Leonard?
Nah, it was with like all the DBs, but that was more so like just to have fun. I knew you guys, you know what I mean? Like, I'm just trying to get through the day.
Uh-huh.
I think our biggest trash talker was probably the person right across from me, though. Gmo talked the most, even after stage, like social media and everything. I post like a nice little picture or something, just me doing something with my family. You're still a punk, though. like dang, Gmo, see, that's how you feel.
Well, because the reason I asked is because on the show, we've talked about how in one of our games versus Kansas State, I mean, kickoffs, you know, I never would hit anybody. So kickoffs, I'd always look for someone who's just kind of watching the play, and I'd go and just ear hole them. And there was one time we played Kansas State and I ear holed the guy. And then I told him, I was talking to him and said, get your weight up, bitch. And then the next kickoff, this guy's the lead blocker. And he comes running at me.
He's like, I'm coming
for you, mother. And then he picks me up and tosses me. Okay. So that's why I asked if you had like a go-to.
Nah, like go-to, I really didn't talk too much trash. Like, I just let my game play. Yeah. I don't like to like get out of my element. Like, I like to stay kind of in my own head. Anytime I talk trash, I kind of realize it changes the way I'm playing. So yeah, I just shut it up until the end of the next
game. Play, you might have a lead blocker coming at you.
I would say, I mean, what a lot of people, I think, I don't know, it feels to me like there's the McCarney era and there's like the Campbell era and then sort of like the forgotten middle with like the Rhodes era as far as Iowa State lore. And I think one of the things that just having people on this show is like to remind people, and not to sound like a, you know, squeaky look at me type thing, because it's not about me, but like the other guys that were there, like how good there was talent there. I remember, so the Iowa game, that the Steel Jans game, the three overtime one, there was one of the overtime, there was a, you caught a fade ball in the end zone, like in and flexed on him. I remember like just using that as an example. There were times when the game flow was right, whether usually it was with Steel, but like every once in a while with Barnett, like Oklahoma State was similar to that, when I'm in the backfield. And so the way the play calls happen for the audience is there would be the protection would come in first, and then the route would come in after that. And then sometimes there would be like a check on top, like a Texas where you'd call a second play. And so usually there's like an implicit, this could check to this type thing. But then there's also like beyond all that, there is a, if the quarterback sees a matchup, he can just give a hand signal and change the whole thing.
Yeah.
And anytime, like I got to know, because at running back, it's pretty limited. It's pass protection is pretty easy. Like there's two things I need to know. But so I would start to pay attention to like what the routes were, and I would pay attention to what the coverages were kind of doing while the quarterback was looking. And so I would sometimes see it at the same time that Steele would see it. And I remember the Iowa game, that one where that you caught a fade ball, that was a check that like, that was just a straight kind of put four fingers down. That was just Florida, which is just run a go.
Most of my catches and touchdowns were checks.
And I remember like seeing the coverage, and essentially the reason why I bring this up and like this whole preamble, Money was so good when he was at Iowa State that there were times where they could not leave one defender over there. It doesn't matter who it was. And if there was ever single coverage, doesn't matter who it was. Justin Gilbert was like a first round draft pick. Doesn't matter. If there's one person over there, I would in my head be giving you the signal, and then Steele would give you that same signal, and it'd be like, all right, we got a touchdown here. This is good. We're done.
You know where that came from, though?
Where?
I tell some of the kids that I'm coaching now, I don't know if you know, you wouldn't know because you wasn't down there for our one-on-ones. Uh-huh. Every time we did one-on-ones, when we got in the red zone, Herman would tell it, when he's up, he's running a fade.
Every time.
Didn't matter if the DB heard him or not. He said, you know what it is. I remember he used to do that. I used to be looking like, coach, like, you know what it is? All right. So, like going against our DBs, we have some good DBs.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I mean, Leonard played in the league for 10 years.
Every single rep. No lie.
Yeah.
Every now and then he'll give me this to run the slant and work on it. But 9 times out of 10, if I was up in one-on-ones, I'm running the fade.
In the red zone, fade to money. It is, I mean, it's six. The only way it wouldn't be is if the quarterback overshot you.
Yeah.
That's it. And so it's like, if you ever go back and watch any of the games between 09 and 11, just the amount of times that seven would just go get something. So like, just the forgotten middle between the McCarney and the Campbell staff, dudes like Money were just, unbelievable athletes.
You know, that,
like
people just forget about it. Too, when I was in high school, my junior year and my senior year, my brother coached us. He's 7 years older than us.
Okay.
He used to take us to 7-on-7 tournaments. The whole like tournament, every drive I would start at quarterback. And once we scored, he would put me at receiver and we'd throw a jump ball every time, every single time.
That's great.
And we usually converted it. Like the fade ball, that was my specialty.
Yeah.
But I practiced it so much. Like even with my cousin, he was my quarterback at one time. Like we would just throw it in the backyard.
And is it just for the like the nuts and bolts on it, when you're running a fade ball, are you trying to get it back shoulder all the time? No. Or is it just going to be where the DB's leverage is, throw it away from that, whether it's inside, outside, whatever?
Well, you definitely got to go by the leverage. But I think what a lot of, especially younger guys don't know, is you got to hold the bottom of your the bottom of the numbers. That way the quarterback has more room for error. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. And I can kind of contact the guy to control him a little bit too. Uh-huh. So it wasn't leverage or whatever. It was more so me positioning myself to be able to adjust to any type of throw.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So like the bottom of the numbers was always the key.
Didn't Herman call that the 4-yard highway? Is that, I think he called that. That was his term.
Yeah.
And it feels like that, like, I don't know if you watched much Iowa State recently, but like Jaden Higgins feels like Darius Money Reynolds, like junior. Like that feels like the same body type.
Yeah, I know
you're like a 6'3", 6'4", thick at the shoulders and jump out the gym. Like that feels like the same type. So like Jaden Higgins, what Jaden Higgins does, that's just money before
prior to
Campbell.
Yeah, no, it's been a lot of great athletes come through. I haven't really kept up with everybody, but I caught glimpses of the guys that, even like guys that are in NFL, like Lazard and stuff, Breece Hall. Like I caught like glimpses of them. They definitely had a lot of talent coming through.
Oh yeah.
Well, I was gonna say too that I felt like when you were playing, I felt like every time you would throw to you, it was like, okay, like just a vacuum, just you're gonna catch it. No, it almost was overthrown. And I feel like a guy we've talked about him, he's a younger guy in the program, Benny Ngoyi. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if you've seen him at all much this spring.
No, not yet.
He reminds me a lot of you in that you're, because you're what, like 6'3"?
6'2".
Yeah, so I like him. Yeah. 6'3". He's
6'3" in the program.
He's like 6'4". He's bouncy like you. So I think he is kind of the next guy.
It's more so just about being aggressive. Like, it's your ball, go get it.
And I think he is going to be the next great, I would say, receiver. Last question for you here, because I know you got to get going. You had a nice career after Iowa State. So you want to tell everyone what you did? I know you played some arena ball.
Yeah. Some arena ball.
I did a little with arena.
So tell listeners after Iowa State what you went on to do.
After Iowa State, I actually went to Green Bay. I signed with them, but I failed my entrance physical.
Is that your wrist?
Yeah, I broke my wrist my second year at my junior college and never got it fixed or never diagnosed it as a broken wrist.
No way.
So
that's why you couldn't catch a clean. Like in the Duke was like a 385 power clean.
Yeah.
Couldn't get it to a front rack.
Couldn't bend this wrist. Like, I mean,
is that why I could bench more than you too?
No, you can never bend more than me. I mean, I still out cleaned you. It's all skills. I almost got EFI.
Yeah, you're right.
My bench was 400.
Yeah, 400-pound bench at wide receiver.
525 clean was like 315, 320.
That's what we talked about a few weeks ago. We were talking about strongest guys in the locker room. It's like, I think Money was squatting like 500. So anyways,
I used to work out with the linemen. I remember that. Yeah. So I think that's the reason why I got kicked off the JUCO team. I'm just going to throw that out there because they didn't want to take care of it or whatever. But so I failed the entrance physical. The doctor said they could see that my wrist is damaged. So they sent me out. TB was actually playing with
Taron Benton for the listener.
Taron Benton was playing with the Barnstormers, and he told me to come out there. So I started there with them. 2012, I played like the last two games. I think my first catch was almost a touchdown. I was close. and then I played with them from 2012 to 2014. Then they decided to go to the IFL, which I wanted to stay in the AFL.
What's the difference between the two?
Well, for one, it was the pay.
and let's put it out there. Arena football versus indoor football.
Yeah, and then like arena was still on TV. Like at the time, we still had ESPN deals. I don't think we had NFL Network, but it was like you kind of get to be seen more. IFL, I don't even know if they were on YouTube yet. But I wanted to stay AFL. Got recruited to San Jose. Well, I will say, 2014, I was the number two leading receiver in touchdowns, yards. And number one in overall touchdowns, like rushing and receiving. So I had a really good year. 2014 in Iowa, recruited by basically every team. I decided to go out to San Jose because I knew they were a pretty professional team and I had a good opportunity. I got hurt a little bit that season, but I played my role, though. I still had quite a few touchdowns and everything. We ended up winning the Arena Bowl, played in that game. And then I guess like a little 2 months into the offseason, some word got around that San Jose wasn't coming back. So I had to find a new team, ended up going with Philly out in Philadelphia, the Soul, and played with them. 2016, we won the Arena Bowl. 2017, we won the Arena Bowl. So I won it 3 years in a row. I was our leading receiver at Philly, so I took pride in that. And then I played with them all the way to 2019. We lost in the Arena Bowl that year. But, yeah, and then after that, I kind of had an injury that slowed me down and sat me down a little bit and made me question if I still wanted to play or not. And then I remember I always promised my son that when I was done, I would move back. So
nice.
I just kind of took that as an opportunity to just hang it up and come back and be with my boy.
That's kind of messed up that the Packer, put the tape on.
And that's why I say, I was like, this is an injury that happened before Iowa State. Like, and you would have never,
all my production at Iowa State.
You know what I mean? Like, if y'all recruited me from Iowa State, like, this shouldn't be a factor. But I mean, I understood it at the same time. It's a business.
Yeah.
Yeah. They ain't going to put $500,000 into what they might seem as a broken product, so, which sucks, but
it made sense. It hurt. It definitely hurt, but I understood it. I mean, even between then and I think 2014, after that season, I went back and I tried out for the Packers again. I also went to the Redskins that year. After the 16 season, I tried out for Philadelphia Eagles because I was right there. They gave me a chance. Only thing that kind of hurt me was the injuries I was piling on from Arena. I was never really healthy, like going into those workouts or whatever. Like the I know the Eagles one was like the 2 days after the Arena Bowl, and I think I broke my foot in the Arena Bowl. So I mean, I still went out there and I tried out, but I just couldn't really do what I needed to do. So I still had opportunities after that.
You go back to the Packers and say, oh, your wrist is still broken?
Nah.
you again? Your wrist is still broken?
I actually had some shots at CFL too, but I chose to stay over here though.
Yeah.
You and Cleon Lang could have been tearing it up there.
Cleon actually plays with, for a few years, he played with one of my good friends from my hometown that I played Pop Warner with.
Cleon, I think, had a nice career up there, too.
Oh, yeah.
He won. He was at the Argonauts.
Yeah, they won. David did win with Toronto, right? But he won with, I think, Ottawa.
Yeah, I'm not sure where he's
Red
at now.
Blacks. I think he won with them, too.
Yeah, he had a nice career.
I paid attention to CFL.
I mean, he was in my recruiting class, and so I've got him on Facebook, and I said, oh, Cleon.
Oh, hey, okay.
Yeah, he's doing his thing now.
Big dude.
Yeah, he was.
He was on my
You know, Bailey Johnson's like a 5-star chef now. Just think about just people.
So is Flat. Wallace Franklin.
Oh, I didn't play.
I think in Ankeny. Dude is fast.
I was about to say, he's somewhere around here, ain't he?
Yeah, he's fast too. Flat. Yeah. We can talk about how he got his nickname later on. So we'll let you go though, Money. I appreciate you joining us.
Oh, yeah, it was fun.
It's always good to catch up with you and good to see you again.
Yeah, good to see you guys too. I appreciate it.
He's just a teddy bear, man.
Solid guy.
He also he kind of, you know, so when you talk. So last week when he did the Steele interview, I got a lot of people at Size House that said that was one of their favorite interviews. And my response to that was always, thank you. That's nice to hear that people liked it. And also, Steele has like a refreshing amount of don't give a shit. It's inspiring to me to not give a shit. Like, if he doesn't care what people think about him, why should I care what people think about me? And Money has that kind of like zen, like calming effect. Like if you're in a room with Money, you don't, like, if you're mad at anything or if you're sort of like angsty, like nervous about something, you're sort of like, things are okay, man. We're going to be all right. He just has this like, when you're in his presence, it's always just calm.
Which is a pretty good quality for a coach to have.
Yeah.
And for him to, he talks about in the interview, obviously, that he's, you know, getting into coaching kids. That's a good, you know, because I don't, you know, having a coach MF you is like one way to fire up. Another way is to be encouraging and be like calm and okay, you know, which just I feel like he'd be a good coach.
Man. Yep. Goose Fraba.
Oongala Goonga.
What a great but also messed up movie. Anger Management. Anyway, you got anything else for the good of the cause, Aiden?
Don't think so.
Yeah, we've got some fun guests coming on too. Can't promise anything, but one certain guest who likes to eat spaghetti with his hands, we might have on next week. So we will see.
What a weird tease.
The real ones will know.
Yeah, if you know, you know.
The real ones will know. Cyclones get your mind right. Oh, oh. That's all I got, Jeff. You got anything else?
No, that's it.
All right. Thank you to all of our loyal listeners who are still listening. And as always, remember, adopt. Please don't shop.